I mean, I'm going to hurry up and get out of here. Amen. Watch that. The Bible said, when Jesus came to the place,
he looked up.
Now, notice what he said. He looked up and he saw him. Now, you got to look here. Now, he looked up and he saw him. You got to understand what's going on here. As Jesus was coming and was coming, amen, into Jericho, the Holy Spirit would begin to enlighten him down. Somebody up in that tree. Somebody up in that tree. And when he passed by that, it got his attention. But look what he couldn't get in because of the press. Because ain't nobody else he knew right then. And nobody else wanted what this man wanted. That's the reason why the Bible teaches us if just one soul gets saved. Just one soul. Jesus, amen, Jesus went to Samaria for what? One soul.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Come on. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Now, capture this man in the tree, and he ain't copying no attitude. He ain't. Amen. Now, I want you to watch this. I want you to catch on to this because this gonna revolutionize your life for the rest of your life. Jericho wasn't the same anymore when this took place in Jericho. And what's going on over here before Jesus come, amen, you ain't gonna have enough room, amen. Pastor gonna have to read, he gonna have to enlarge, he gonna have to open up this thing. Because why? Because the time is drawing so nigh, and people don't know what to do now because of the economy and all this stuff. Amen. The Obamacare and all of this. And people just worry themselves to death. Amen. Jesus opened the book of Psalms. Opened the book of Psalms. The Lord is what? My shepherd, and I shall not want. Amen. We got to understand that some way or another, God going to bring us through this thing. Can you say amen? That's why we got to learn how to go through the fire. Amen. We got to learn how to go through the fire. That's what our problem is. We don't want to accept challenges. We don't want to
fight.
But you got to put yourself, you got to fight. We all go fight. Read, I'm going to hurry up and get through.
For today I must abide at your house.
Tell your neighbor, amen, God want to buy at your house. God want to buy at my house. God want to buy at your house. God want to buy in my house. Now, you think about it. You can be the same one, but still might be somebody that's not saved, and God still can do whatever you desire, what you want to do. Read. Notice what it said. The Bible said, and he made haste, and he came down.
And he received him joyfully.
And
when they saw it.
And when they saw it. See that you always have somebody, sitting back there, amen, mumbling and thinking evil about the person. This really ought to be shot with it. Make haste, came down. Think about it. Make haste, come down. Think about it. Make haste, come down. You here today? Make haste, come down. Don't take on it. Make haste. Oh, I don't think I'm ready today. You better get ready with Tyler. You better get ready.
Yeah.
Make haste. Come down.
Yeah.
Because what? Jesus is coming. Read.
And receive them joyfully.
And when they saw it,
they all murmured
saying, going to be a guest in a man's sinner. Going to be a guest at this. Well, Jesus, I come to seek and to save that was lost.
Right.
I ain't come to seek the one that is already saved.
Right.
That was some religious
folks.
God, the guest could be my enemy. He gonna be a guest at this sinner. Read.
Uh-huh.
Behold, Lord. Look, Lord, on behalf of my good I give to you. Think about it. Ooh, look, the half of my good. Oh man, you hear what's going on here? The half of my good. Amen. God, whatever it takes, amen, for me to get saved, for me to go back with me. Lord, you can have half of my goods.
Yeah.
Think about it. I ain't gonna. Come on.
Give
to the poor.
And if I've taken anything from any man.
If I misuse anybody, if I misuse treated anybody, if I was, amen, if I just done anyone wrong, Lord, oh God, what I got to do to go back and repay them? Amen. Come on now. I restore it fourfold. Yeah. Right. Money ain't no thing now, is it? Now you better understand, the son of Abraham, the seed of Abraham. Now this is why we better understand. See, we got preachers now behind the pulpit trying to use Abraham, amen, as a seed giver, amen, in order to manipulate us and to make us believe, amen, this is how we can get rich. Prayer cloth. Send for my miracle water. Subject Jesus is passing by. Send me for your miracle water. Get us caught up in our little manipulated mind and make us use that reverse psychology on us and make us think that, amen, God is sitting on the throne. Got people outside looking for sacks of money to fall out of the ground. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Because if it would have been, as long as I've been serving God and living God, I ain't got rich yet. But I'm rich in Jesus. Ain't nowhere in the Bible that he said that he gonna make a rich, but he said that he will what? Supply each and all of our needs. Ain't no way he said I'm gonna throw you $1 million. Come on now, huh? That was a man that we all know. When I was living in Houston, his name, amen, the foreman, amen, the heavyweight champion of the world, amen, George Foreman. And notice what he said. He was interviewed, amen, over television concerning his life. He spoke of having made millions of dollars, but of a life that was waste and spent. Think about that. Could nobody hit hard as that man? Ain't none of us had much money as he had. But sometimes God have to take certain people down the road to get them to what? See themselves, and then come back and use it for a testimony. And then have to use it for a testimony to give us an understanding that, hey, you're going the wrong way. It's not that he don't want us to have. Don't misunderstand me. Because John 3, John said, beloved, I wish above all things that you were, that you prosper and be in good health, even as your what? Soul prosper. This man here was rich. Had plenty of money. Amen. It ain't nothing that we, amen, God would bless us abundantly, but the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Nothing wrong with you riding in your nice car. God want us, he want us to look nice. He want us to be nice. Amen. He make us the head and what? And not the tail. Can you say amen? And George Foreman said, amen, it was a waste. But after he realized which way he was going, he said, and then he met Jesus. And then he met Jesus. And when he met him, amen, and realized that, amen, he got caught up in the glamours and got caught up, amen, of the world. See, he's supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. Huh? I already said, Jesus said, this world, amen, this kingdom is not of this world. And we don't understand that how the enemy works, how the devil works. Amen. See, Satan owned the world system. When he got kicked out of heaven, he owned the world system. He controls it. That's why the Bible called him the prince of the air. He rules that.
We know that the Word of God has blessed you richly as you have listened to this Word in power and excellence. Listen each Sunday at the same time or visit us at 416 DeSoto Street for regular scheduled services, Sunday school starting at 9:45 a.m., Sunday morning worship beginning at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesdays 7 o'clock p.m., or phone us at 318-253-6232 or 318-264-0301 or on the World Wide Web at pdusk3@aol.com. And remember, There is always room at the cross for you. Now there is power.
You are listening to the very best of community radio and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
We just finished our series and our weekly worship experience Bible study on change. Amen. We've been talking for the last 3 weeks about change, regeneration, new birth. And I want to just give one final message in as it relates to change, because we need to be reminded that not only is God able to change us, if you didn't know he was able to change you, then you're missing out. Amen. We always want him to change other folk, but sometimes we've got to be honest and point a finger at ourselves and say, Lord, I need you to change me. And I know there are two or three folk in here who can bear witness to the fact that he is able to change you, but not only that, he's able to change your circumstances. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, there is a word from the Lord. 2 days later, there was a wedding in the town of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine had given out, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no wine left." "You must not tell me what to do," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." Jesus' mother then told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." The Jews have rules about ritual washing, and for this purpose, 6 stone water jars were there, each one large enough to hold about 100 liters. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill these jars with water." They filled them to the brim. And then he told them, "Now draw some water out and take it to the man in charge of the feast." They took him the water, which now had turned into wine, and he tasted it. He did not know where this wine had come from, but of course the servants who had drawn out the water knew. So he called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone else serves the best wine first, and after the guests have had plenty to drink, he serves the ordinary wine. But you have kept the best wine until now." Jesus performed this first miracle in Cana in Galilee. There he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And for just a few moments this morning, I want to speak to your hearts from the subject, when devastation meets celebration. And again, we're still talking about change. Amen. When devastation meets celebration. Thank you, ushers. It was, I believe, in 1981 when a group of gentlemen met together and came up with words of great profundity, words that have been indelibly etched into many of our memories. In 1981, these gentlemen, who were profound and prolific, assembled themselves together and came up with words that many of us in this room shall always remember and never forget. Words that we shall always reflect upon as days go by. Sincere words, deep words, profound words. Perhaps you're one of those who remembers these words. Celebrate good times, come on. There's a party going on right here, a celebration to last throughout the year. So bring your good times and your laughter too. We gonna celebrate and party with you. Come on now, celebration. We're gonna celebrate and have a good time. Come on now, we're gonna celebrate and have a good time. It's time to come together. I see Sister Landry's with us. It's up to you. What's your pleasure? Everyone around the world, come on. I see that I'm not the only one in this room who remembers Cool and the Gang. Amen. Amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, I want to invite you to this little remote village called Cana of Galilee. It's what some might call the hood. But the good news is there's a celebration going on in the hood. It is the celebration of two young people who have found love in one another, and these two young people have decided to commit themselves to one another for the rest of their lives. And here they are in a celebration because they found love in this life. Now, I need to tell you that if anybody knew how to have a celebration, it was the Jews. As a matter of fact, they would party all week long. Some of y'all know about partying all night long, but the Jews had it down, amen, such that they would party all week long. And one of the most important ingredients for a party that would last all week long, they had to have some wine. And even though, my brothers and sisters, this party is in the hood, there is an A-list of guests who have been invited to this party. Mary, the mother of Jesus, has been invited to this party. Amen. Jesus himself has been invited to this party. I like that. I like that because it tells me that Jesus will show up at a party. For those of you who try to box him in and relegate him to the sanctuary, I want you to know that, amen, my Jesus doesn't mind showing up at a party. Do I have a witness today? He shows up at the wedding feast, and he brings his boys along with him. He brings the fellows along with him to the party in the hood. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know that he'll show up in the hood. Am I by myself in here? Amen. I didn't grow up in the projects, but I didn't grow up in Beverly Hills either. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm glad to know that Jesus will show up in the hood. As a matter of fact, can I tell you, amen, how I was when Jesus met me? I was trying to remember these words Wednesday night, but they came back to me. Amen. I need to tell you how I was when Jesus met me. I was weary, wounded, and sad. But I found in him a resting place. And is there anybody here who can testify that since you met Jesus, amen, amen, you have some joy in your life? So here they are in the midst of celebration, in the midst of having a good time. Mary comes to Jesus with the most devastating words in the text. Mary, the mother of Jesus, says, "They have no more wine." Now that's a problem, Brother Thompson. That's a problem. That's a major problem at this Jewish celebration. That's a major problem because the wine represented the joy and high spirits of the celebration. Yes, they had to have some wine. Yeah. Amen. Now you need to understand that they did not have wine to get drunk. Tell your neighbor they weren't trying to get full. Amen. They weren't trying. Thank you, Brother Palmer. They weren't trying to, you know, amen, get tipsy and all that. They weren't trying to get drunk. Amen. It was against Jewish custom and law to be drunk. The wine just lightened the moment. I wonder every now and then, sometimes, you know, in church, amen, you know, the Catholics use the real stuff. And sometimes y'all get so heavy and seem like you're so burdened, you won't say amen, you won't, amen, clap your hands, you won't stand up, won't smile. I every now and then I think about telling our chairman, you know, go down there and get, replace that juice. Tell your neighbor the wine ran out. The wine, the wine, the wine. So Mary says to Jesus, "They have no more wine." Let me see if I can contextualize what's going on in this setting. It's like being at one of your parties. And somebody comes along and says, "Ain't no more wings." We done run out of meatball. This is devastating. This is frustrating because they have no more wine. Jesus tries to deflect the situation off of himself by saying, amen, to his mother, woman, what have I to do with this situation? My time has not yet come. And can I tell you something? That it's right here that we discover with crystal clarity that Mary was a black woman. Some of y'all missed it. You missed it. Amen. It's right in the text. We discover. We don't have to watch the History Channel. We don't have to, amen, go to ancestry.com. Right here in this text, we discover with crystal clarity that Mary is a black woman. Mary is black, I tell you, because Mary does not even enter into dialogue with her son Jesus. As a matter of fact, she doesn't even respond to the statement that Jesus makes. She just simply looks at the servants and says, now Jesus told the woman, what do I have to do? She don't even look at Jesus. She don't pay him any mind. She simply turns to the servants and says, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. You do it. Am I the only one in here whose mama could just look at you? Just give you a certain look, a certain way, and whatever. See, it's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. Amen. Pastor had to call some kids out for being back in the back doing worship. It's a new day, I tell you. I wish Lily Mae Garner would have looked up and looked around and not seen me in the place that I was supposed to be. Amen. Amen. She wasn't worried about social services. She wasn't worried about the police arresting her. Right in the church, she would have had something on me. And y'all, next Sunday, I would have been sitting there, amen, with joy in my heart. Mary was a black woman, I tell you. Mary says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Amen. So what I want you to see this morning, my brothers and sisters, is that devastation has entered the celebration. There's trouble all around because here this young couple is about to be embarrassed. Because y'all know how we are. Some folk are looking and saying, now, she knew how many people were going to be here. She sent out the invitation. She made up the list. Amen. Come on, y'all know us. Come on. Come on. Come on. She should have prepared. Amen. Here I is, and ain't no more wings. I didn't eat dinner because I had to go to the beauty shop and do this and do that and get here to the party. Ain't no more wings. Ain't even got no meat. Ain't even got no cheese. Amen. No crackers or nothing. I'm going home. Amen. Mary says, whatever he says for you to do, do it. And Jesus says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to fill up the water pots with water. That brings me to our first point. Tell your neighbor, sometimes God will use your devastation as a prelude to elevation. I told y'all last Sunday, I'm coming up, I'm coming up, I'm coming up. Some of y'all bore witness with me that you're coming up. Amen, amen. So sometimes God will use your devastation as a prelude to elevation. You see, they didn't have a corner liquor store that they could run to. This wine had been maturing just specifically for this celebration. And when it was gone, guess what? It was gone. It looks bad. The situation looks hopeless, and somehow Mary knew that Jesus was the only one who could turn things around. Now, my brothers and sisters, understand that Jesus has not performed any miracles heretofore. Nobody but Mary, his mother, knows that there's something special about this boy, Jesus. The 11th verse says that this is the first miracle that he has ever performed. But every now and then, God has to wait until we get our backs against the wall. Every now and then, God has to wait until the bottom drops out. every am I in here by myself, every now and then God has to wait until you're standing out there by yourself to show you just how powerful he really is. If you know he has the power, give him praise in this place. And I believe I'm on somebody's pew this morning. Because you know what it means to be at your wit's end. You know what it means to have your back against the wall. You know what it means to come to the end of your rope. But some kind of way, Jesus steps in and makes it all right. And so I came by this morning to tell you that every now and then God will use devastation as a prelude to elevation. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm coming up. I'm coming up. I'm coming up. Sometimes you have to drop low so he can lift you high. Sometimes he has to let you fall way down there so he can bring you up. And you have to testify that if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, I wouldn't be here. He will use your devastation as a prelude to elevation. But not only that, because the text teaches us also that God will use your devastation as a means of fresh revelation. Yes, sir. Look at what Jesus says. He says, go and get 6 water pots. Fill them up with water. What are you going to do, Jesus? Don't ask me any questions. Just go get the water pots. Stone water pots and fill them up to the brim with water. They have not seen, understand, they've never seen what he's able to do. Understand that they have never known him to be a way maker. I need you to understand that they've never, amen, known him to be a storm tamer. But now they're in a situation that is beyond their control. And every now and then, God will so circumnavigate the circumstances of our lives such that when we come through, when we come out, we can't say this happened because of mom and them. Do I have a witness today? When we come through that problem, when you come through that adversity, when you come through that trial, you won't be coming out talking about I was lucky. Amen. When he brings you out of that sickness, I'm talking about the kind of sickness the doctors have said there's nothing we can do. Amen. There ain't no help. Amen. When you come through that trial, when you come through that problem, you will come out with your hands up saying, if it had not been for Jesus, if he hadn't saved me, if he hadn't delivered me, if he hadn't rescued me, if he hadn't picked me up and turn me around and place my feet on. And I know I'm looking at some folk who have that testimony here right now. I dare you to reflect on some stuff you went through. And what makes me mad is that some of you have been through some stuff that your haters were sitting back waiting on you to look sad. Your haters were sitting back waiting for you to cry, waiting for you to lose your mind, waiting for you to get on drugs and get on the bottle. But is there anybody here who's bad enough, who's bold enough in the midst of your mess that will stand on your feet and say, after all I've been through, I still have joy? Come on. Hunch that neighbor and say, don't get it twisted. It's rough, but I still have joy. Come on. Nudge that other neighbor. I don't feel 100%, but I still have joy. I still have a praise. Give him praise in this place. So every now and then, God has to show us who he really is. You would have never known that he was Jehovah Jireh if you hadn't seen him provide. You would have never known that he was Jehovah Shalom if all hell hadn't broken loose in your life. You would have never known that he was Jehovah Shammah if all of your friends and associates had not walked out